Radio Daily. For weekend eve. That's right. Welcome to it. It's almost here. I mean, blink and it'll be there. Okay, well, you have to blink a lot or blink for a really long extended period of time.
At least 182 times.
Right? That's going to take care of the whole damn thing right there. Welcome to the 15th of August. Technically not an Ides, but you can have it if you want. Nobody really cares. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know us from Facebook and Twitter and all those crazy things. The folks bringing it to you today, well, the man who puts out all over social media when shows are coming out because he wants you to be informed. That there's podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
Anyone who misses this will regret it the rest of his life.
Wow, that's a bold statement. Hi there. I'm the guy keeping it in perspective. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Hey, I'm a firm believer in the philosophy of a ruling class, especially since I rule.
And I do. What happened, yo?
1877, Thomas Edison coins the word hello as a greeting as an alternative to the one suggested by inventor Alexander Bell, ahoy, ahoy. He remarks in a letter to a friend in Pittsburgh, I don't think we shall need a call bell as hello can be heard 10 to 20 feet away. What do you think? Really? He invented the word hello? That's what he says?
No, it had nothing to do with that party he was at Tesla's. 1899, Henry Ford, age 36, quits his job as the chief engineer at the Edison Illuminating Company in order to manage the Detroit Automobile Company that he founded back on August 5th.
1918, The Sinking of the Lusitania, written and directed by Winsor McCay, is released in the U.S. It is the first full-length feature cartoon film featuring over 25,000 individual drawings, which took 22 months to produce.
1939, MGM premieres the fantasy film The Wizard of Oz, directed by Victor Fleming, among several other uncredited directors, starring Judy Garland, Frank Morgan, Ray Bolger, Jack Haley, Burt Lau, Billy Burke, and Margaret Hamilton.
1945, the Westinghouse Electric Corporation first proposes a television broadcast system employing aircraft called Stratavision, which could relay signals across the United States.
We have to protect our flying, boys, so we can watch TV! 1947, telephone service is introduced on an experimental basis on moving trains. Guess where I'm calling from.
All the transients kept tripping over the cables that ran from each train. It was terrible. 1977, the Big Ear Radio Telescope, operated at Ohio State University by the SETI Project, receives a strong 72-second narrowband radio signal from deep space. The event is named the WOW signal for the notation made by a volunteer on the record of the signal. It will never be detected again.
1986, Nintendo releases the groundbreaking platform game Metroid for the NES in the U.S. It is the first will be a long line of the popular video game franchises for Nintendo and caused many a kid in the 80s to lose his damn mind when he got the true ending.
1997, Paramount Pictures releases science fiction horror film Event Horizon, directed by Paul W.S. Anderson, and stars Lawrence Fishburne and Sam Neill. It's a trip.
Yeah, I can't say it's a good movie, but it's a damned interesting one. How about that series?
That should be good.
2001, the International Space Station briefly floats adrift due to a computer glitch. Onboard astronauts use jets on the Space Shuttle Discovery to restore flight stability.
2003, the Mission Space, a motion simulator attraction at Epcot, opens to the public. Astronaut might experience aboard a spacecraft on a mission to Mars. From the higher G-force of blast-off to the fictitious hypersleep used by passengers to pass the time during the journey. The attraction is sponsored by Hewlett-Packard, was constructed at a cost of $100 million, facilitates 1,600 guests an hour, and of course was popularized by the movie Rocket Man, starring Harlan Williams.
I thought you were going to say Taron Egerton. 2005, Andrew J. Steffi discovers the moons of Pluto, Haida, and Nix in images taken by the Hubble Space Telescope because he still thought he was looking at a planet.
Oh. 2006, the Voyager 1 space probe, the most far-distant man-made object in space, reaches a distance of 100 astronomical units, or just shy of 10,000 million miles from the Sun, meaning that it is 100 times more distant from the Sun than the Earth. At such great distance, the Sun is merely a point of light. So solar energy is not an option, but having a nuclear power source, Voyager 1 continues to transmit data. The spacecraft launched nearly 30 years earlier on September 5th, 1977, same day I was born, has flown beyond the outer planets and reached the heliosheath, the outer edge of the solar system where the sun's influence wanes, and no doubt will end up interacting with some sort of an alien and coming back to Earth.
Well, I mean, that's just standard. Birthdays?
Alice Englert, 25, from Beautiful Creatures.
Jennifer Lawrence is 29, from X-Men, First Class, and others. Silver Linings Playbook, Winter's Bone, Hunger Games, Joy, Mother, Red Sparrow.
She's so quirky. Emily Kinney, 34, Beth from The Walking Dead, Masters of Sex, Flash, and Arrow.
Natasha Henstridge is 45, Species. What more do you need? She was in Species a lot.
True. Matthew Wood, 47. General Grievous in Star Wars.
Ben Affleck is 47 years of age from Mallrats, Chasing Amy, the underappreciated Daredevil, and the underappreciated Batman v Supes.
He was the bomb in Phantoms.
Word, bitch, Phantoms like a muff.
Anthony Anderson, 49 years old from Kangaroo Jack, Transformers, Scream 4, The Town That Dreaded Sundown, and is fantastic in Blackish.
Deborah Messing is 51 from Ned and Stacy, The Mothman Prophecies, Will and Grace, Smash, Los Misterios de Laura.
Don't forget Will and Grace.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Zeljko Ivanic, 62, Slovenian-American actor from Homicides, Heroes, and Madam Secretary.
Tony Robinson is 73. That's Baldrick from Blackadder.
Jim Dale, 84, from Peach Dragon, Pushing Daisies, and narrates the Harry Potter audiobooks. There is nobody who's got a better voice than him.
1912, Julia Child, an American chef and author, and oddly enough, inventor of the bat anti-shark repellent.
1923, Rose Marie, from The Dick Van Dyke Show, Sally Duncan, and The 98 Psycho.
1925, Mike Connors, from Mannix, and The Extreme Adventures of Super Dave.
On CBS, we've got a rerun of Big Bang Theory, Young Sheldon, New Big Brother, and Jamie Moriarty decides to make an unexpected contact with the investigators as they reach the apex of their battle against Odin Reichenbach on a new Elementary.
ABC, it's a new Holy Moly! Family Food Fight, and Tori Eastland serves as the host for the Reef's first women's surf competition, where the stakes soon become deadly for everyone involved on Reef Break. Slip might kill you.
NBC has a rerun of The Wall, a new Hollywood Game Night, and El Nos Vu.
Fox, it's the Cincinnati Bengals at the Washington Redskins and NFL preseason football!
Oh, that means Tigers are going to be fighting the... No, we're not going to go there. CW has the Green Bay Packers versus the Baltimore Ravens in the NFL preseason.
Freeform is showing Pitch Perfect, the one fantastic movie in that trilogy.
AMC has the Green Mile.
Disney XD, Boston Uprising versus Florida Mayhem on Overwatch League, brother.
Promoting so much violence, my goodness. FX, Christine Baskets, Apple Pie is not allowed through security as Mrs. Baskets goes to Sacramento on a new Baskets.
FXX on the Simpsons Marathon, you got Trilogy of Error, The Parent Rap, and Homer to the Mo.
FXM has Mechanic Resurrection.
Oh my god, he's a zombie? BBC America is showing Contact.
Paramount has Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby.
Turner Classic Movies, In the Heat of the Night. My god, that film is amazing.
TBS has Chasing the Curve.
Yeah, they would. Tonight they were watching the Lifetime Movie Network, because when a young lady gets caught up in a romance between her and her high school crush, she gets a rude awakening. When her husband grows unfaithful, despite molding herself to be his ideal wife, she wonders if she'll ever find true love. Erica Christensen and Antonio Cupo star in To Have and To Hold.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Tony is disappointed in the students at the law school where he gives a lecture. Tells them to get off his damn lawn. A lovesick client rejects Stefan's advice. He will market this new glasses accessory. Sonny defends a young girl who murdered her brother after years of abuse. And even I can't make a stupid joke about that. Abby reveals her true feelings to Chad. Spoilers, she thinks they could be a family. And thinks they could still be together in the year 2200. Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
Don't you have a letter to read or something?
Hi again, geeks. I can't think of a more quotable director because I don't know who directed Mel Brooks' various movies. But my friends can quote almost all of Blazing Saddles and Spaceballs. I'm sure Monty Python members are way up there, too. I don't know who directed what. That is from Bill.
Well, I believe Mel Brooks directed Mel Brooks' movies.
Yes, he did.
And as per Python, it was usually a mix between, I believe, Terry Gilliam and Terry Jones did the majority of the directing.
Or when their powers combined, they did it together. So, you know, that's fine. As long as you're quoting stuff, Bill, that's the important thing. Tell us about your favorite directors and if you know whether or not they directed their own films by dropping a note to podcast@geekradiodaily.com or tell us all about them. Act them out. Those are fantastic. Just drop a voicemail to
510-GRD-CREW.
I would definitely say a mixture between Kevin Smith, the Pythons, and Mel Brooks are probably the most quotable, simply because you're not supposed to quote any Tarantino movies.
Who directed the Kevin Smith movies?
If you want to check out something really cool, you need to tune in to the TriTac podcast. What's that you say? TriTac? What's a TriTac? TriTac is one of the oldest role-playing companies around. They make games like
Friendsworth, Euro 13, FTL, 2440, Incursion, Hardwired, Hinterland, Weird Zone, Beach Bunny Bimbos with Blasters.
Designed for D20 and Savage Worlds, these games will kick your dice into overdrive. Whether you want to combat the denizens of the underworld, travel the galaxy, get crazy with bimbos, or travel the multiverse and do it all, TriTac has you covered. Go to TriTacGamers.com to see what it's all about. That's T-R-I-T-A-C gamers.com. And check out our weekly podcast at TriTacSystems.podbean.com. Or simply enter keyword TriTac in iTunes. You're going to love it.
Hi, this is Alan Ruck, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily. For all us geeks. Okay, bye.
All of us.
One of us.
One of us. The Tyler Durden of his time.
Greetings, Starfighter. You have been recruited by the Star League to defend the frontier against Zur and the Kodan Armada. Get ready. Prepare for blast off.
One thing I know is that my allies and I had just obliterated the largest horde of rabid zombies I'd ever encountered, and then suddenly, Chief Wiggum 49 and Halo is my bitch 12 decided to frag me.
It's simply a, you know, thing that could occur. What's out there today, sir? What are we playing?
Rogue Singularity, a high-speed infinite obstacle course. Navigate the perils at the edge of a rogue singularity as it tears worlds apart. Customize your robot and face infinite challenges, fighting to survive. Traverse universes to discover what lies beyond the void. Or just engage in a lot of repetition. It's available now for the Switch.
Backpack Twins. They're not solving mystery. Or maybe they are. Switch, solve, survive. Backpack Twins is hard, but a fair single-player puzzle platformer. With a twist, control both twins and make them work together in order to solve environmental puzzles, move forward, and stay alive. For the PC, Bill.
Eritana and the Twin Masks. It's a sequel to Eritana and the Harpy's Feather. It is an action fantasy game based on the indigenous culture of Brazil. It's available now for the Xbox One.
Grandia HD Collection delivers Grandia and Grandia 2 in one package for the Switch.
Far Lone Sails. It's a vehicle adventure game for the Switch.
Vehicles with sails? Rad! A new game from Double Fine about a team with mutant powers in a post-apocalyptic world for the Switch, PC, PS4, and Xbox One.
There better be some motorbikes in there. Yu-Gi-Oh! Legacy of the Duelist. A game in the Yu-Gi-Oh! Franchise. And it also spans like 5 series, so it's available for the Switch.
Remnant from the Ashes, a third-person survival action game where up to 4 players can fight, adapt, and overcome the perils of diverse and deadly environments for the PC, Xbox One, and PS4.
Morphe's Law. It's a shooter game where players' body parts shrink and grow depending on where they are shot. It's available now for the PC and the Switch.
There was a pool!
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News! Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Arthur Mark Tufo's book series, Zombie Fallout, is coming to television. The project is set to be executive produced by Brad Thomas and Weston Scott. They're teaming up with Tufo himself, as well as Buffalo 8's Stephen Adams and Theo Dumont, to make it happen.
Do the undead prefer regular Nuka-Cola, Quantum, or Fusion?
Glass bottles only, no plastic shells. Currently, there are 12 entries in the book series, but it extends to audiobooks and graphic novels as well. The synopsis for book one. It was a flu season like no other. With the H1N1 virus running rampant through the country, people lined up in droves to try and attain one of the coveted vaccines. What was not known was the effect this largely untested rush to market inoculation was to have on the unsuspecting throngs. Within days, feverish folks throughout the country convulsed, collapsed, and died only to be reborn. With a taste for brains, blood, and bodies, modern-day zombies scoured the lands for the next meal. Overnight, the country became a killing ground for the hordes of zombies that ravaged the land.
Which means we need a Braxo cleaner, now in industrial grade.
The book follows Michael Talbot, his family, and his friends, a band of ordinary people trying to get by in extraordinary times. When disaster strikes, Mike, a self-proclaimed survivalist, does his best to ensure the safety and security of those he cares for. Book one of the trilogy follows our lead character at his self-deprecating, sarcastic best, when he encounters along the way leads him down a long, dark road, always skirting the edge of insanity.
I'd do well. If you need a theoretical physicist, I have a theoretical degree in physics. I just don't have any werewolves in my family tree.
Can he keep his family safe? Can he discover the secret behind Tommy's powers? Can he save anyone from the zombie queen? If your towel gets caught on the next to useless excuse for a lock on the door, do you even stop to grab it? Is it nobler to die naked like a savage than with a terry cloth around your waist? Find out this fall.
Aquaman versus Bulldozer.
Somebody else trying to make a grim and gritty reboot of a Golden Age lame villain?
No, I mean Aquaman versus a literal bulldozer.
Wow. Then comics are getting lazy.
Jason Momoa is delaying production of his next superhero movie. The star was unfortunately injured by a piece of construction equipment.
He is a piece of construction equipment.
In an Instagram post, he writes, "Sorry, Warner Brothers, we can't shoot Aquaman 2 because Jason got run over by a bulldozer trying to stop the desecration of his native land. This is not happening. We are not letting you do this anymore. Enough is enough. Go somewhere else."
He's no leader. He came because he had no choice. He came to save his home and the people that he loves.
You see, Jason has been protesting the construction of a giant telescope on land considered sacred to Native Hawaiians. In another post, he asked fans to support the cause, writing, "During this time, we are trying to unite both the Kainaka and Hawaii-born peoples alike to protect not only the Mauna, but also our way of life and greatest natural resources in Hawaii as a whole. And if they do not listen to him, he's going to make them walk the plankton. He'll school them because he keeps his friends close and his enemies closer."
Dude, I've told you before, man, no unlicensed puns.
Unlicensed? Those are 100% official.
NASA wants you to help develop autonomous rovers for future space missions.
It's a great opportunity.
Dude, this is a new story. Just let that worthless carp go. For the second phase of its space robotics challenge, the agency invites competitors to help create software that would allow a virtual robotic team to operate autonomously on the moon.
They can help the whalers. Okay, that is not a fish joke.
That's true. The goal is to advance technologies needed for full autonomous operations, navigation, and decision-making on the lunar surface. Interested participants can download the registration pack and official rules. The deadline to sign up is by Friday, December 20th, 6 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hey, Google. Set a reminder for...
The qualifying round opens in March when teams will be given 3 tasks to complete with a simulated in-situ resource utilization mission.
ISRU? What kind of fish is that?
The top 25 groups that meet scoring requirements will be rewarded from a $375... damn it. The top 25 groups to meet minimum scoring requirements will be rewarded from a $375,000 prize purse and invited to move on to the competition round in December 2020. Successful challengers will then be tasked with building on their existing software to demonstrate autonomous operations over a long-term ISRU assignment. Up to 10 scoring teams will be awarded cash prizes from a pot of $625,000. Winners will be announced in October 2021. Their software will be tested on robotic systems with a simulated lunar environment, like they shot the moon landing. Prior participation in Phase 1 is not a requirement, because NASA believes in slacker rocket scientists.
Japanese cities and towns across the country have their own manhole designs. Each one is unique and reflects the local culture, history, or beauty. Fittingly, the country now has Pokemon manholes.
For a Pokemon Turtles crossover?
Earlier this year, the city of Ibusuki unveiled a series of Eevee-themed manholes. Why does this city have Eevee manholes? Ibusuki sounds like Eevee-suki or Eevee likes. The Pokemon manholes try to make connections with the local area, either visually or through other thematic ways. For example, rock-type Pokemon Geodude, Tyrunt, and Onix have their own manholes in Iwate Prefecture, as Iwa refers to rocks.
But it wasn't a rock. It was a rock dragon snake thing.
This is a part of a project called Pokemon Local Acts, which tries to drum up local tourism. Manhole spotting is a popular pastime when traveling within Japan, and folks enjoy checking out the different manholes across the country while traveling.
Great. This is just another damn excuse for you to take us to see manholes.
Well, the Blue Oyster Club closed years ago. Plus, they double as Pokestops in Pokemon Go, so they're more than just manholes. They're Poke manholes.
And another sad note time, Barbara Scarfe, credited as Barbara March, the actress who played the magnificently evil Lursa, one of the Duras sisters in Star Trek fame, passed away on Sunday after a battle with cancer.
The god Chuk. Cancer.
Together with her Klingon sister, Beator, she wreaked havoc in episodes of Star Trek Next Generation, Redemptions Part 1 and 2, Firstborn, Star Trek Deep Space Nine, Past Prologue. She also starred in the feature film Star Trek Generations.
And the Empire will never forget her valiant sacrifice over Viridian 3.
Barbara was born October 9th, 1953 in Toronto. After graduating from the University of Windsor, she began working as a stage actress. During this time, she met her future husband and fellow actor, Alan Scarfe, who has guest starred in episodes of Next Gen and Voyager. Outside of Star Trek, she's been in L.A. Law, Night Heat. She's also a renowned theater actress, having played roles such as Lady Macbeth and the Duchess of Malfi in prestigious stage productions. She was also a prolific writer. She's written television episodes, poems, plays, and novellas. In recent years, she's become a staple of the Star Trek conventions, even appearing on stage occasionally in full Lursa makeup.
Which I do not have to justify my love for.
Barbara Scarfe is survived by her husband Alan and her children John and Tosia. In honor of her passing, we look to Stovakor and say, beware! A Klingon warrior is about to arrive. I would say it in Klingon, but my throat's still a little... GRD is live on the Creative Commons Attributions, non-commercial, non-derivative works, I say 3.0 license. Check us out on Facebook and on Twitter, stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. I wonder who does GRD's podcast. It's a good question. If you have the slightest idea, drop us a note, won't you please? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or if you're pretty sure you know where Chad and Abby are, I mean, goodness, just clues are everywhere. Just send a voicemail to
510-GRD.
And we'll kick off the weekend together to Mari. Because that's always a good time.
Doesn't anyone know how to turn off the program when they leave?
Peace out, player.
Blah, 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 blah.
Good night, suckers.
Aren't you a little out of place here? And everywhere else on Earth?
Have you made your decision regarding Toral's challenge?
I'm pursuing it with due vigilance.
Allow me to heat up your tea.
Toral has the bloodline to lead the Empire into the next century. He has the support of the people.
Then it remains to see if he has the support of law.
But he must. Surely you can see that.
I'll tell you what I see. If I find Toral's challenge valid, the two of you will very quickly gain control of the Council, and Gowron will be found dead shortly thereafter. If I reject Toral's claim, you will accuse me of serving Federation interest, and it will serve as a rallying cry to declare war and overthrow Gowron.
You see very clearly, Captain. But one thing is missing. If you rule against us, and we are victorious in a war against Gowron,
which we would be,
it will mean the end of the alliance with the Federation.
Oh, we would hate to see that happen as much as you would.
This is not a threat, Captain. Just an unfortunate truth.